Good morning, or is it afternoon? I lost track.
Good morning.
All right, morning. If you can't hear me comfortably, just, you know, pull the string on my toe and I'll talk louder, and or come closer. You know, sitting there in the hospital this week, I entered a phase that's called, interestingly, it's called the blank space. This is a legal medical term that happens to people who've had ablations, you know, an attempt to get rhythms together. There can be, you know, 2 or 3 weeks afterwards, a sudden blank space where there's some other things start to happen, and that really it disappears after a certain period of time. But I didn't know I'd have to sit in a hospital and pay all that money to get blank the way I wanted to do here. It was interesting. Everything disappeared. Yet there were some things this week that found their way to, let's say, through thought or whatever you want to call it. And at first we come in here, or I can be lying in a hospital and say, gee, what can I learn from this? What knowledge is it? I said, that's not the right word. And you know, I'm sometimes a little particular with words. And I replaced that with something that was felt rather than knowledge of things. And that word was acquaintance. How can I say this without it being the same old stuff? And since we have an immersion into the depth of acquaintance, which in earlier years, frankly, I never dreamed it was possible. And you can look up that word in the dictionary, and there are pieces that may not feel comfortable with you, but essentially, put less emphasis on a definition, but just, I'm acquainted with this. When we pick up a book of Dogen's, we belong to those words even before we're reading them. Feel that. No need to strain to understand or define, but like the Gothas at this point, you belong to them even before you've read them. Now, being acquainted with Dogen and the poetry, you also get to feel that the daily living is the completion of the whole of time. I had my Kindle, my iPad with Being Time on it, and just letting paragraph or two come up. Actually, all of them I felt acquainted with. They're old friends. That the moment, as this moment, is totally complete, just leading to the, so to speak, the next one. I remember David White used to talk about this very breath, this very thought, are the wings that carry us from one hushed moment to the next, from one to the next. And there's no way to really fully define what is next or what is past. So I just bring that word to your attention. And I found in my I caught travels recently. Some poetry other than Dogen's that seemed, at least to me, to speak this out. There's a poet that I happened on called William Stafford. Anybody hear of him? Mm-hmm. Well worth looking into. Well worth. And the title of this one poem, I've got a couple from various places, but I won't bore you too long. And this one hit me. He said, "You reading this, be ready." I'll save the comments for a moment. Starting here, what do you want to remember? How sunlight creeps along a shining floor? What scent of old wood hovers? What softened sound from outside fills the air? What is it you want to remember? Will you ever bring a better gift for the world than the breathing respect that you have, that you carry wherever you go right now? Are you waiting for time to show you some better thought? When you turn around, starting here, lift this new glimpse that you can find. Carry it into evening. All that you want from this day, this interval you spent reading or hearing this, keep it for life. What can you give anyone that is greater than now, starting right here, right in this room, when you turn for a second? What is greater than the gift you can give to right now? It's wondrous to stop trying to define what is right now and just know that something I'm acquainted with, and you were acquainted with. There's a feel of compassion. A couple of others that have come up recently that I want to share. And this is one of Rilke's poems that speak to the same thing. This has been hovering. I'm going to talk about hovering. They're hovering there all the time. Rilke's poem, "Shining in the Distance." Already my gaze is upon the hill, the sunlit one. The way to it barely begins, lies ahead. Barely begun lies ahead. So we are grasped by what we have not grasped. I love that. We're grasped by what we have not grasped. Full of promise, shining in the distance. It changes us even if we do not reach it, into something we barely sense but are. A movement beckons, answering our movement, but we just feel the wind against us. I gave a talk up at Windhorse, God, must have been 7, 8 years ago. So I had that experience with some of you who've been up to the mountain, to the Bull Mountain, which is right across from the house. And it just kept talking. We were just so connected, so acquainted with one another, this man. it changed even if we did not reach it, into something we barely sense but are. That mountain seemed to call. Now, we all have things like that. It takes but, as Stafford said, this moment to acquaint yourself again with it and not make anything more of it than just that. Yeah. Another poem that speaks to me in the same fashion is by my friend Guy Leakley. And by the way, you know my website is listeningwiththeeye.com, listening with the eye. The eyes are always listening. Eyes turn up to the sky where all these bits of light, after millions of years, flying through vast space, come to final rest in you. On you. Next time you're out in the night sky, and it could be here, just the thousands and millions of bits of light that are over here with Wilbur or Jane, they're traveling. It's not the travel that we're talking about, bits of light, so to speak, but they're traveling, and they're coming to rest in you. Ooh. Feel filled up. Feel complete. Feel acquainted. They come to rest in you. And what they do, by the way, is they make visible what without you, might perhaps never have been seen in the dark of the clear light. They make visible that which without you might never have been visible on a clear night. Almost enough words. This old friend of a poem came up many years ago. I was from San Francisco. Awakened within a dream, I fall into my own arms. What took you so long? What took you so long? Isn't that encouraging? Remember that. What took you so long? That was by Lou Hartman wrote that. He's a very, very special guy from San Francisco. Says, awakened within a dream, I fall into my own arms. What took you so long? One last poem that I gathers a lot of this together for me. Yeah. Well, we'll leave one hang out of it. Some of you have heard this before. It's been a companion for me. It became an acquaintance, God, 40 years ago. When I first saw it, before Zen. But think back to those times that you felt something, saw something. And it wasn't within the environs where you were told it. But by itself, all by itself, was you. There was nothing strange about it. It was in this particular poem. It was in a mall. I read it here, one of these posters, years ago. It's taken me maybe 40 years to begin to have its message keep coming in the spirit that we were talking about now. So much in there. The wisest man could ask no more of fate than to be simple, modest, manly, true. Safe from the many, honored by the few. To count as not in world or church or state, but inwardly in secret be great. To feel mysterious nature ever new. To touch, if not to grasp, its endless clue. That endless clue of light, always there. So we touch it. We don't have to grasp it either. To touch, if not to grasp, its endless clue. That's, so that's all, folks. To grasp, to touch, if not to grasp, gives you all the options. Gives you the reminders. Yeah. Okay.